6 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock, it's the third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa on the historic Main Gym. You can even find us online on that thing they call the internet, KGYMradio.com. While you're there, make sure you're voting in the Emil's Hideaway poll question. Who wins Game 7 tonight between Boston and Washington? We've got it coming up for you after the conclusion of tonight's program. Sometime between now and 7 o'clock, your third and final chance today to play Race to Win. We had a winner on the gym class taking home a $60 gift card to the Oxyoke Inn in the Amana Colonies. We did not have a winner with Kelly earlier on this program, although she did once again reveal one of the Indianapolis 500 tickets. So a $240 value is hanging out there. And I know, judging from the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, we've got a lot of race fans who would very much like to get their hands on those tickets.
And as promised, I put the podcast up for Friday. Okay. One of the squares was revealed for one of the other, or for the other, six pack to the Indianapolis 500. So podcast from Friday's up if you want to go find that other spot.
We will play coming up momentarily, but first, the Big Ten meetings earlier today in Chicago, and Jim Phillips, the athletic director at Northwestern, was posed an interesting question, and it's one that I hadn't really thought of a whole lot. We talked a lot of Iowa football on Friday at the Coach's Corner in Iowa City because Jeremy Smith was, let's just say, he parted ways with the football program, since I'm sure there's still a little ambiguity as to whether or not he was booted or whether he chose to leave. But Kirk Ferentz said both sides decided that it would be best for a fresh start elsewhere. So we talked a lot of Hawkeye football and what happens with the wide receiving core and how much do the tight ends play. The topic of Iowa's non-conference schedule has come up often on this program, and people are always talking about Power 5 teams to replace Iowa State, which, by the way, is never going to happen. That series is just going to renew. It's like you sign up for these websites and they give you the trial price, or the first month is free, but you still have to give them your credit card, and if you don't cancel it, all of a sudden on day 32, you get hit with the $12.99 charge, and you just, I'll get it next month, and then you forget to cancel, and they ding you again. That's the Iowa-Iowa State football series in a nutshell. But Jim Phillips, the AD at Northwestern, was asked today what he thought of Northwestern playing one of its non-conference games against a Big Ten opponent. Could you see a day where perhaps teams take it upon themselves to schedule one of the non-conference, or one of the teams that they're not scheduled to face on the 9-team Big Ten schedule as a non-conference opponent?
I could not see Iowa doing that because they already play 9 conference games. There are a lot of conferences that play 8 conference games, and I've seen it before. The Pac-12 did it. Colorado and Cal played in the non-conference a couple years back. I think the SEC has done it a few times. But in the Big Ten, you would think that ADs would be a little bit against that because they already have to play 9.
But there's a familiarity there.
I understand
there's
that.
There's a recruiting. If you want to play non-conference games in areas that you recruit, I'm not taking a side here one way or the other, but the thought had never crossed my mind. And Jim Phillips was asked about it earlier today. And
what was his response?
I believe his response was it would be something that Northwestern would consider, but not exactly race out to do. Now, with Iowa, it would have to be a team from the Eastern Division. And what are the odds that would ever take place? But in the old Legends and Leaders setup, it would have allowed, say, the Iowa-Wisconsin series to continue. Not that both schools would have ever agreed to that. But the idea of playing a non-conference game against a conference opponent, is that something that would ever be on the table for the Big Ten? It doesn't sound like it, but the more I think about it, the more I'm kind of intrigued by it. What would that be like to have Michigan State coming to Kinnick Stadium, but nothing is on the line except for a win? Doesn't mean anything in Big Ten play. Again, not going to happen, but the fact that somebody asked Jim Phillips about it today at the Big Ten meetings is enough for me to bring it up on the program.
It's hard for me to imagine it, because you brought up legends and leaders. Now that it's clearly split up into East and West, I think there are a couple of possibilities if you look at each division as to who you would play from the other side. And would the question becomes, would it be worth it? If you're playing Ohio State, if you're from the Western Division, you're Nebraska, you're Wisconsin, you're Iowa, would it be worth it to play Ohio State or Michigan State or Michigan in the non-conference, or even throw Penn State in there? Are you going to play Maryland or Rutgers? I don't think there's a middle ground in there. There's not a program that you're going to want to go out and schedule that's not great. They're not horrible. They're right in the middle, if that makes sense. Because a lot of these teams already schedule another Power 5 opponent. We've talked about that ad nauseum for the Iowa Hawkeyes. If there was a middle ground team in there, like the way I was talking about Cal in the Pac-12, then maybe you do it. I just can't imagine, with Iowa State continuously being on the schedule, it's going to get renewed, it's going to get renewed, and it's going to get renewed some more. I can't imagine that happening.
By the way, I asked the question on my Twitter, at Todd Brommelkamp, about the server bringing back dollar bills instead of bringing back larger bills, say $7, and instead of 5 and 2 ones, it's 7 ones, which is essentially saying, I know that you're going to leave some of these for me, or at least I'm hoping that you'll leave some of these as a tip. 89% say they like the convenience of that move. Only 11% say that they find it presumptuous.
So they're disagreeing with you?
Well, and I never said one way or the other. I just said it struck me today that it's not something that I had really spent a whole lot of time thinking about, kind of like this show on a daily basis. I just walk into the studio and do 3 hours, because that's how you do a radio program in this building.
That's all there is to it? Just walk in,
yeah,
turn the microphones on?
Sometimes. And I thought, wow, okay. I guess you think that I'm leaving you a sizable tip today, because you brought me back. You know, I've already got, it wasn't a very expensive lunch, is what I'm trying to say. $2 would have come close to covering the tip, especially when you throw the 50 cents on there. I think I would have been about at 20%. But no, I got an extra 5 ones just in case I wanted to be a little generous.
Now, I need some context. Is this waitress someone at an establishment where you eat all the time?
Yes.
Have I met this waitress?
Yes. You could say that there have been regular appearances.
So I know who you're talking about. And having come across this waitress, she does everything to make things as absolutely convenient as possible. And I think that's what she was trying. That's what she was going for.
Right. But she's one person. I'm talking about, this happens a lot. And you know what the most common response so far has been via Twitter? Who carries cash anymore?
That's true. I don't remember the last time I paid my meal in cash.
I happen to have a $20 bill in my wallet, and I thought, why, instead of putting it on my card, where I have to keep track of the receipt and all of that gobbledygook, why not just pay cash? So that's the only reason I was paying cash today, and it wasn't to upset anybody in the service industry. Believe me, I have nothing but the utmost respect for people in the service industry, especially bartenders, because I've given enough of you in Eastern Iowa my business over the years. I probably have helped put kids through school. I'm like Scott's Tots on The Office, except I'm actually coming through. putting a wing onto my best friend's house through years of my look. I had the best man in my wedding was a bartender. That tells you all you need to know about me and my pool of friends.
On this previous show, one of the rejoin liners was referencing Norm from Cheers. Is that kind of your character when you were a regular at a bar? When you walked
Oh, I've never been in a bar. I've never walked into a bar where someone has yelled my name when you walk in the door like George went on Cheers. That was ridiculous. But it was part of the whole Norm shtick. Now, I would say at one point in time, there were probably, and I'm talking in that moment of time, there were probably three bars that I could go into in Iowa City where I would be considered a regular, where people would, the people behind the bar and some of the regulars would also know who I was.
I think I know one of them.
And
it's on Coralville Strip,
right? At that point in time, yes.
Okay.
At that point in time, that was when I said, maybe I need to reevaluate my life. But I've been putting that off. I'm 37 years old now, and I'm still putting that day off where I have to come to that reckoning.
I've always wanted to be a regular at a bar for some reason.
It's not that glamorous.
It seems so glamorous.
It's kind of sad.
It seems so glamorous on those TV shows.
When you walk into a bar, they do make it look like it's something special, but when you walk into a bar and the bartender is already pouring you the drink, that's when you need to ask yourself, is this how I thought my life was going to turn out? And I had two or three places where I walk in the door, I'm getting a beer at one place, I'm getting a mixed drink at another place. They just knew. Oh, hey, how you doing?
So it's not as fun as they make it look in Cheers.
No. And I was usually paying with my card, so I didn't have to worry about paying cash. Now, on Twitter, I'm being told by someone that 95% of the time people wind up asking you for ones after you've brought them change anyway, so you just give them ones. I understand, and that's why I said originally, if it's done for convenience, no problem. But there's also just a hint of presumptuousness in that move that, there you go, you're going to throw three or four of these my way, but you're not going to leave me a $5 tip because that would be way too much money to tip on this particular meal. But I know I've got a good shot at getting an extra buck if I bring back ones.
Smart move.
And by the way, don't be the person that just leaves your change on it. Like, you get $2.73 back. I always take the 73 cents with me because there's something, maybe it's me personally, but I think it's kind of, I don't know.
I've never left coins as a tip,
with the exception of quarters. But I'm not nickeling, diming, literally and figuratively when I tip. 366-1600. No one wants to see Iowa play a non-conference game against another Big Ten opponent. I sort of expected that. Germany Smith off of the football team. We touched on that on Friday. Lots of college football news on the horizon, I'm sure, coming out of these Big Ten meetings in Chicago. I'm sure there's just an absolute ton of news that's coming down the pipeline. One of the newsworthy things today was shared by our good friend Adam Rittenberg at ESPN.com, and that's the fact that the Big Ten sat down with representatives of seven states' high school athletic associations, as well as two reps from the National Federation of High Schools. And the discussion topic today was the Big Ten's push into Friday nights and playing Friday night football. And in reading the tea leaves and some of the comments made afterwards, it seems as if this sort of was just a courtesy meeting. And the Big Ten said, we know that you're mad. We'll sit down. We'll hear your complaints. And then we're not going to do anything about it because we've already made up your minds. The Big Ten Conference should probably run for political office, because that's the attitude that most of our reps, Republican and Democrat, tend to share. They tend to hold, no matter what you think, they know best, and they're going to do it anyway. And that's what the Big Ten has pretty much said. in this. Now, they did meet. They did allow the athletic directors, presumably, to state their case for why Friday night football in Big Ten territory would be a bad thing. And then Jim Delaney said, I'm sorry, I was over here in the corner counting my money. Did you guys say something?
Nothing's going to change on that front. There's going to be Friday night football.
Look, if I'm Delaney, I say, okay, fine. We won't have Friday night football. That's whatever. And then I'm sending repo guys to campus, and I'm trying to take back practice facilities and stadium renovations and anything that's built with the Big Ten TV money, because that's what schools are doing with all of the TV money, is they're putting it back into facilities in their budget. And if you want the money, you have to play the Big Ten's game. And the Big Ten's game right now is inventory, TV inventory. And there's a finite amount of it. We've talked about it before on Saturdays. You can only put so much football on TV on Saturday. Not just the Big Ten, but all of the other conferences. That's what the Mid-American Conference has essentially punted on Saturday, because they know nobody's going to watch MAC football on a Saturday. So they'll play their games at 3 a.m. on a Tuesday night if it means they're on TV and they're on TV by themselves. And the Big Ten is figuring out, okay, this would be a good way to get some eyeballs on a Friday night, because would you rather watch Eastern Washington take on Podunk State, some non-conference game, or some West Coast game? Or would you rather watch Big Ten football, be it a non-conference game?
Big Ten football. And I cover high school football. I announce high school football. I think that Friday night college football would be just fine. I've seen it happen all over the country. Clemson played in several Friday night played in a Friday night game last year. Washington played in a Friday night game. Half of the Final Four teams played in Friday night games. You're not going to play. It's not like Iowa is going to play one or two or three every year. I don't even think that most years they're not going to play on Friday night, but one every once in a while is not a bad thing. I understand where the high school coaches are coming from. It's very difficult. In fact, it's impossible for potential recruits to visit that weekend. I get that. But Friday night football is something that I think has worked well for college football. It kind of sets up as an appetizer for Saturday, and when you can get eyes on the Big Ten, the ACC is doing it, the Pac-12 is doing it, every other conference, including the SEC, is doing it. It's time for the Big Ten. I thought that Thursday night would be great as well, but they don't seem to want to do that yet.
Something else that Adam Rittenberg tweeted earlier today, and I thought this was already, as a matter of fact, we mentioned it last week on the program, and maybe it was because I had seen that it was upcoming. I thought that it had been done already, but it's official. Charlie Weiss has received his final payment from Notre Dame, because it was on his tax return that apparently was disclosed. We can see a college football coach's tax return, but somebody else's is off limits. Charlie Weiss, final payment from Notre Dame, $18,967,960. When did they get rid of him?
That would have been 20...
A long time ago.
Yes, a long time ago.
And he was on sort of the Bobby Bonilla payment plan, which is material that Rittenberg himself used there. So I'm not exactly breaking new ground.
Now, is Kansas still paying him? And is Florida still paying him? Because at some point he was under contract with like four or five, maybe seven or eight different schools.
I think the Kansas buyout's done, because I think it was smaller. But Notre Dame's was ridiculous. It's good work if you can get it, to get a massive contract and then be so terrible that someone will pay you to go play elsewhere. You do see this in the sports world occasionally, where a team will cut a quarterback or a running back and the money's guaranteed, and they wind up turning up on the field opposite of said team during that same year. And everybody always makes a big deal. Oh, he's getting paid to play against the team that's paying him. Well, when the money is as big as it is nowadays, you got to figure out whether you want guys around or not. But some would argue that Charlie Weiss never deserved that contract in the first place.
Now, does Notre Dame still have an offensive advantage?
A distinct offensive schematic advantage.
Schematic advantage.
On the offensive side of the ball.
Since they just brought in a new offensive coordinator and they have a new head coach, I don't think that's the case. But
that's always, it's one of those programs that's always fascinated me, because when I grew up, Notre Dame was very good, and we didn't have cable, so a lot of times college football on Saturday, you were watching Notre Dame on NBC and the mystique and the aura, and you look at the program now and you go, those days have been in the rearview mirror for a long time. How are they still getting by on their past reputation? They are a restaurant where the food has not been good for the last 10 years, yet people still go back and talk about how things used to be at that restaurant. I don't get it.
I'm trying to think about this. I do not remember Notre Dame, other than the year where they lost to Alabama in the national championship game. I don't remember them ever having a really good year.
That was the 13-2 game, right?
The national championship? No, they got absolutely...
What year was that? That was a Bama game, right?
Yes, the Bama game. I can't remember what the final score was. They got obliterated. That is the only year where I can remember them being nationally relevant. And people say, oh, well, yeah, when Brady Quinn took on Jamarcus Russell in the Sugar Bowl. No, that does not count. There was a string there where Brady Quinn was the starting quarterback and they got demolished in every single big-time bowl game that they went to. That doesn't count. If you're a Notre Dame fan and you're talking about a program that once was and you're still riding on that reputation, you are talking about a program that is nationally relevant, that was perennially contending for a national title, and that has not been the case since I can remember.
Speaking of riding on someone's reputation, if you're in need of new tires, check out LinderTire.com in Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City. They're the sponsor of the KGYM road trip, driven by Linder Tire, and we're going to be back on the road again this Friday at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. Stop on in and say hi. Enjoy happy hour. It's daily from 3 until 7. We got those KGYM pint glasses that are extremely popular, and our newest bit of station swag, KGYM golf balls, which if you're like me, you can leave on golf courses all across Eastern Iowa. They're the best marketing the station has ever spent, because I will spray those things everywhere, and people will be finding them for years to come. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock, we'll step aside. When we come back, we'll bring you your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the third and final hour and set the table for the final minutes of the program, which will include your last chance today to play Race to Win. Back with more after this.
More coffee?
Thanks, Janet. So, my big $10 breakfast here is on Mediacom, because I ordered their new Extreme 100 Bronze package on sale for just $69.98 a month for 1 year, which includes an extra $10 off a month to spend any way I want. What does Mediacom's Extreme 100 Bronze have, Janet?
It's got digital TV with over 125 video music channels, 14,000 free on-demand titles, TiVo service, internet up to 100 meg, including the fastest in-home Wi-Fi, and unlimited nationwide calling.
It's all-in-one technology, or TV and internet that really work together.
So, you out there, why don't you order?
Yeah, call 1-800-SIMPLIFY to get Mediacom's new Extreme packages starting as low as $69.98 a month for a year. Call 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details.
Limited time offer available to qualified new Mediacom customers only. Price does not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and local broadcast station surcharge. Usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas. Call Mediacom for more details.
When it's a beautiful day, the first thing you think of is golf. This summer, hit the links as often as you like and save money with a season pass for the City of Cedar Rapids golf courses. Choose now from passes for adults, seniors, young professionals, or junior golfers. Once you've got your season pass, golf all summer long at the four Cedar Rapids City courses. Gardner, Twin Pines, Ellis, and Jones. Each has its own unique character. Get your season pass now for a summer of great golf. Details at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
If you're thinking about selling your home, now is the time to think about getting that sold sign planted out front ASAP. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about those sold signs. You see, each spring he buys a bunch of them because he plants them in people's yards. Doug has a nice shiny sold sign for your yard, and he plants them faster than a John Deere plants corn in the spring. Time is money, and Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Planting season is almost here.
6:31, and the final half hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues, but not before a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Iowa State today officially announced the signing of Princeton men's basketball graduate transfer Hans Brace this morning. Brace missed most of last season after he suffered a knee injury in late November. He announced his commitment to the program on Friday. Also today, head coach Steve Prome revealed freshman guard Jacoby Long underwent shoulder surgery last month on his shooting shoulder. Long averaged just over a point and a rebound per game last year with the Cyclones. Coach Prome will be on the program with us Thursday in advance of the Cyclone tailgate tour stop next week here in Cedar Rapids. The Iowa baseball team took its weekend series against Ohio State in dramatic fashion yesterday thanks to a walk-off home run by Robert Nystrom. The Hawkeyes are 31-18 on the season, 13-8 in Big Ten play. They head into the final week of the regular season with a non-conference game at home against Nebraska-Omaha tomorrow and a weekend road trip to Illinois on tap. The Hawkeyes have clinched a Big Ten tourney berth for the fourth consecutive season. The Cedar Rapids Colonels are taking on the Peoria Chiefs tonight in a doubleheader at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Game one underway right now. The Chiefs currently with a 3-1 lead. And Mark Perry will become the full-time freestyle coach for the Iowa Wrestling Club, the Hawkeye Wrestling Club, that is. Perry has spent the last 6 years as an assistant at Illinois. The Iowa men's golf team in 11th place today at the Baton Rouge NCAA Regional Tournament. 319-366-1600. Let's step aside. We'll come back when we do. We will put the finishing touches on today's program, talk a little Cubs-Cardinals baseball, and give you a final chance to play and hopefully be victorious on Race to Win. Back after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010. 1-800-758-2010.
Welcome back, 6:34, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, continuing on a Monday evening, this Monday being May 15th. Coming up on the program tomorrow, Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com will be with us. Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register is at the iClub gathering tonight in Waterloo, where Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz currently is. The media caught up with Ferentz. One of the topics, as you can imagine, Friday's dismissal of wide receiver Jermaine Smith from the team, and a couple interesting comments, and I'm sure we'll dive into this a little bit more on Tuesday's show. But Ferentz said, quote, "I've pulled players off the field before, and typically there's a little bit more of a response." That sort of tells you everything you need to know about Jermaine Smith. And then on the other hand, He was asked about the departure opening the door for true freshmen, something we talked about on the program on Friday. And Ferentz's quote was, "We'll have a very open mind about those guys contributing."
It's funny. I had a chat with my younger brother over the weekend about this very topic, about freshmen coming into a pro-style offense as opposed to coming into a spread offense. And I just wanted to know, because I watch a lot of college football, and I see programs like Oregon, programs that run that wide-open spread offense where freshmen come in and contribute right away, and it just seems like there's a lot less of a learning curve. And basically, he was just telling me that in a pro-style offense for wide receivers, there's so much more precision and timing that's involved, because the quarterback, in a spread offense, you have so many options that basically you're going to have a guy running in space at all times. You don't have to be as precise with your routes. You don't have to, the route tree is a lot smaller in a pro style offense. There's so much more to learn. And when you get a freshman that comes in June and only gets about a month of practice in August before they get going for the season in September, it's very difficult. So it's going to take not only a guy with a physical skill set, but a guy that can learn the offense really quickly to come in right away and play as a true freshman and make any kind of an impact at wide receiver for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
We'll talk a little bit more about this tomorrow coming up on the program, but we've got a little house cleaning to do tonight, and as promised, we're going to give you an opportunity.
Race to win.
To play Race to Win right now. If you're caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. I know many of you have been waiting for this. Some of you perhaps just turned your radios back on at 637, hoping that you guessed correctly. And if you're one of those people, I loathe you for turning the radio off in the first place, but you made a wise decision, because now is the time that we're looking for caller number 6. We'll find out who that caller is in just a little bit. 319-366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. NBA basketball on the way for you tonight. Game 7 of the second round Eastern Conference Series between the Boston Celtics and the Washington Wizards on tap for you tonight if you keep it right here on KGYM.
So why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back and we'll get our contestant after the break. Or we could keep it here. It's your choice.
Well, I think we can keep it here because it looks like Tyler is going to be our contestant in Race to Win.
Tyler from Mount Vernon.
See if we've got Tyler with us in Mount Vernon tonight. Tyler, how you doing?
Good, good.
All right, have you been following along with Race to Win?
On and off.
Let's find out if you're sandbagging. We've got 24 numbers. Unfortunately, some of them are off the table. I'm going to give you the numbers that you can't select because they have already been used. Numbers 4, 7, 9, 10, 11, 19, 20, and 24 have been used. With that in mind, give me a number between 1 and 23.
Let's go 13.
What is behind door number 13?
Free round of golf with a cart from St. Andrews Golf Club.
All right, that's the second time that the St. Andrews Golf Club certificate has come up today. That is an $80 value. Can you locate the match for it?
If I remember right, is it 23?
What is behind door number 23?
Free round of golf with a cart from St. Andrews Golf Club.
Well, there you go. Congratulations, Tyler. You're going to be hitting the links at St. Andrews. So two free rounds with a cart. That's an $80 value. We're going to put you on hold, and Jeff will give you all the details about your Race to Win prize. And I have a feeling, I'm going to check the text line here, 366-1600. I have a feeling we've got some very happy texters.
James is very happy.
What? Bring it on, Tuesday, says James on the text line. I thought today we were going to give away the Indy 500
tickets.
I thought
it was a done deal.
We gave away two prizes, which sort of screws us one way or the other this week, but we've still got great prizes to give away. We may slow this down and only play once a day on each show moving forward because we're starting to run out of prizes, but the six-pack of general admission tickets to the Indy 500 still out there, a $240 value. And if you would have told me today that we had two winners after Friday's show when we revealed the, we didn't reveal it, our contestant did, I would have guaranteed you that we were giving away the Indy tickets today.
I actually made that guarantee before the show to one of our coworkers that we were going to give away the tickets.
You know what?
I just shouldn't make those kind of guarantees.
I would take the St. Andrews golf package.
I would take
two rounds,
any of these prizes.
Two rounds, cart, $80 value. We've got the Acme Tools $50 gift card that's still on the table. The $50 in car washes to Right Wash. Carl Underney's Good Time Pub and Grub and Coach's Corner gift certificates are out there. We've got Minnesota Twins tickets and two passes for Breakout CR Escape Rooms, as well as a $50 gift card to Acme Tools. And we'll give you your next chance to play and hopefully be victorious tomorrow on the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. You can catch them every day, Monday through Friday, here on KGYM. While you're listening to them, keep an eye out, or an ear out in this instance, since it's Radio Genius, for the phrase of the day. And when you hear the cue to call, you could possibly be $100 richer, although you can't win the $100 a day and the Indy 500 tickets, which I believe may or may not have been causing some of our listeners a conundrum this week. Because would you rather try to win the cash or would you rather win the Indy tickets? I asked Jeff Downing, our producer, our associate producer, earlier today, have we had anybody this week say no to the $100 because they were hoping maybe they'd be caller five, caller seven? Like, it was like a backup school. Like, they applied to schools as a fallback. I'll pick up the phone and call during the $100 giveaway, but I'm really hoping I win the Indy tickets. Hey, you're caller number six. No. I don't want the $100. I want the Indy tickets. You could take the $100 and put it toward the Indy tickets, but you'd still wind up having to foot the rest of the bill. Speaking of the $100 a day in the month of May giveaway, thank you to Toyota of Iowa City for helping us do this. It's only May 15th. We are just now at the halfway point in the month of May, so we've still got hundreds, thousands of dollars to give away here in the month of May. Again, your next chance comes up tomorrow between 3 and 7 o'clock, because if it doesn't if it's not given away during the Gym Class, then obviously it's going to be handed out on this program. 319-366-1600. We opened the program today with the passing of Powers Booth, the actor who was, in among other things, played Jim Van Scoy in the movie The Final Season, which was filmed heavily here in Cedar Rapids. You may remember him as well from his role on TV. He was in Deadwood, very popular HBO series. He was on 24. He played the vice president there. And I believe he's done a lot of movies. Most people know him as Curly Bill from Tombstone. But he will forever, at least in Eastern Iowa, be Jim Van Scoy in the final season. So very sad news. Some people that I know had interactions with him here when he was in Eastern Iowa. And they all say, for a guy that had a long career in television movies, very nice, very down-to-earth guy. I enjoyed him later on Nashville. He played the father of Raina James on Nashville, although they eventually killed that character off. 366-1600. Many of you are hoping that KGYM will do the same to me, but I have final approval over most of the scripts, so I think, like Stefano on Days of Our Lives, I'm just going to keep coming back again and again and again. Although Stefano is permanently out of the picture, if you know what I'm talking about. We talked about his passing a couple years ago on the show. I made the entire program tonight, with the final 15 minutes still up in the air, no mention of Derek Jeter at all, which I was very, very happy about, because that was going to be, it wasn't going to end well for me, because any time we talked about Derek Jeter in the past,
were you going to use the O word?
I took a beating. Perhaps. And we've barely touched on the Cubs and the Cardinals, except for in hour number one, when I mentioned the fact that I was right about Eddie Butler, that at least for one start he looked good, and I think he's going to get a second one this week with Brett Anderson still on the disabled list, and I think if he looks good this week, the Cubs have to think about moving forward with him as part of the long-term solution to their starting pitching ailment. But this is not one thing that is making this particular team sick right now. There are a number of ailments, and starting pitching is just one of them. The offense continues to lag behind. They're making tons of mistakes defensively. And I think it was Derek Gould from the Post-Dispatch in St. Louis last week that wrote what I thought was a very good piece that said, look, this 2017 Cubs team looks like the 2016 Cardinals. And that should be an eye-opener for anybody who's a Cubs fan, because we all know what happened to the Cardinals last year. They didn't even make the postseason.
I see what Derek Gould was saying, and I also read that piece. The Cubs are a more talented team than the Cardinals were last year. But a lot of the things that were ailing the Cardinals last year, whether it be defense, timely hitting, starting pitching especially, are the things that early on are ailing the Cubs. I think it starts with the starting pitching, though, for this team. And when you look at a team and you say, okay, well, their window is this big, their window is open for a little bit longer, I think the Cubs, as long as they have who they have in their lineup is they're going to start hitting. I am not quite as sure about Jake Arrieta and John Lackey right now. And I think that Jake Arrieta can become and maybe reinvent himself. I think what he's going through isn't a ton different, maybe a little bit different, but not a ton different than what Adam Wainwright is going through. A little bit of a loss of velocity, a loss of stuff from the season, the 2015 season where he was historically good. But that's going to be the thing to watch for me, and that's why I agreed with David Kaplan when we had him on last week. And you asked him, Todd, what does this team need moving forward to continue to build on what they have winning a world championship? Because he used the dynasty word. And for that to happen, they need to win multiple championships. And David Kaplan said they need to get a young, controllable starting pitcher. And I still think that moving forward, that's going to be a thing to keep an eye on for me following the Cubs. If they can do that, then all of a sudden things change very quickly. I think they're going to start hitting. In fact, I know they're going to start hitting. It's the starting pitching that a little bit not quite as sure about them coming around.
And I also, at the beginning of the season, said that I had Jake Arrieta tabbed as the starting pitcher that I thought was most likely to struggle this year. Not due to his stuff, but due to the fact that he's set to become a free agent at the end of the year, and there was so much focus on his contract status, and he didn't want to sign an extension with the Cubs. When you're talking about wanting Max Scherzer money, whether it's you or whether it's your representation that's talking about it, that's a ton of pressure to go out and perform. And so far this year, it looks like the weight of that is on his shoulders. Now, you mentioned John Lackey. Lackey says he wants to pitch for two or three more years. He's looking like the gas can is very, very low.
Yes, he is.
At this point. And if Eddie Butler can impress in this second start this week, I think he lines up for the Brewers, I would keep him around, and I would think about maybe what your options would be moving forward. Cubs, by the way, will open a series with Cincinnati tomorrow at 7:05 at Wrigley Field. They're 18-19. They're in fourth place right now in the NL Central. St. Louis, of course, 8-2 over their last 10 at 21-15 atop the Central. But right now, all this doom and gloom, and the Cubs are in fourth place, but they're 3.5 games out of first place. As a matter of fact, Pittsburgh, who's dead last in the NL Central, is only 6 games back. Lots of parity in that division this year.
I just want to see a tight division by the time we get to July and August. And the way the Cardinals are looking right now, I think there's a possibility of that. I'm not sold on it yet. But I think that this team has shown the ability to get on a roll like they didn't last year. Obviously, the current role that they're on. But I want to ask you about Eddie Butler, because I listened to the game. I was driving home to St. Louis at the time, and he was outstanding. He got himself into a little bit of trouble through maybe too many pitches. You had to imagine that the nerves were there. He's been really good at AAA, and he throws a 95-mile-an-hour sinker. Is it command with him? Was it pitching in Colorado? Because he looks like he's cut from that same Jake Arrieta fabric.
I think he had a little bit of an issue when he first came up with the Rockies in keeping the ball down. And when you elevate, especially when you pitch half your games at Coors Field, the results are not going to be good. What I saw on Friday was a guy that was working with 95, 96 mile an hour stuff, occasionally touched 97, and had great movement. And like you said, first inning, maybe there's some jitters there. This kid, and he still is relatively young, he's pitched 159 innings in the major leagues. It's not as if he were coming up and making his first ever appearance in a big league uniform, although I did catch a very knowledgeable Cubs fan at Coach's Corner on Friday refer to him as the rookie. Well,
he's 26.
You've got those in every fan base. The guy's technically a veteran. He's thrown 159, 160 innings. But I saw a guy that at least momentarily looked good, and he had a 1.1 ERA or something like that in AAA, so it's not like they called a guy up who was so-so in AAA and turned in an outstanding start. So the key with him is going to see, can he do it in more than one outing? Can he do it back-to-back and moving forward? And if he can, then I think you keep Mike Montgomery in the bullpen as a long man, and Eddie Butler is a part of the rotation moving forward, and then you have to look and say, well, Brett Anderson was brought in on a one-year deal. Do you eat it and move on? It's 6:53. We'll step aside. We'll take a final break. When we come back, we'll give you a Colonels score update. They're playing tonight, doubleheader. Still got plenty of time to hit Veterans Memorial Stadium if you want to see some baseball. We'll tell you how they're doing against the Peoria Chiefs when we return.
The pomp and circumstance, the procession, the cap and gown. Traditions that have changed little since the 1940s. Back then, the great landmark was a high school graduation, or perhaps college. Now it's high school, college, and often graduate school. The students and the exams have changed, but the ceremony and the importance of a graduation day remain the same. Since 1947, the Dickens family has been helping families and friends recognize graduates in remarkable ways. Like a ring that will always remind her of her accomplishments and goals, or perhaps a watch to let him know he's made it. Her Teen and Stalker has hundreds to choose from for men and women, including Movado. And there's always free gift wrap. So stop by and see what's in those famous windows at Her Teen and Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
The month of May is here, and so are the sounds of racing.
Back again.
It's race to win. The Gym Class and the Todd Bromley Camp Show will have your chance to match and win a grid full of great prizes, including general admission tickets to the 101st running of the Indianapolis 500. Your chance to win Indy 500 tickets and more with Race to Win, right here on your local sports leader, KGYM.
Race to Win is brought to you by Hurricane Grill & Wings, St. Andrews Golf Club, and Breakout CR Escape Rooms.
All right, let's dive in, give you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update before we send you on your way to Game 7 NBA action tonight as the Celtics take on the Wizards. Iowa State officially announced the signing of Princeton graduate basketball transfer Hans Brace this morning. Brace missed most of last season for the Tigers after suffering a knee injury in late November. He announced his commitment on Friday. Also today, head coach Steve Prohm revealed that freshman guard Jacoby Long underwent shoulder surgery last month on his shooting shoulder. Long averaged just a little over 1 point and one rebound a game last year with ISU. The Iowa baseball team took its weekend series against Ohio State in dramatic fashion thanks to a walk-off home run by Robert Nystrom yesterday. Hawkeyes, the 11-10 winners over the Buckeyes. They're now 31-18 on the season, 13-8 in Big Ten play, They'll face Illinois in Champaign this weekend, but tomorrow they play their final regular season game at Duane Banks Field as they host Nebraska-Omaha. Cedar Rapids Colonels taking on the Peoria Chiefs at Veterans Memorial Stadium in a doubleheader tonight. They are in the fourth inning right now, the Colonels, with an 8-6 lead. Lots of offense in Game 1. And Mark Perry will become the full-time freestyle coach for the Hawkeye Wrestling Club. That's according to Track Wrestling. That rumor has been circulating for the last couple days. Perry, the former All-American at Iowa, has spent the last six seasons as an assistant coach at Illinois. Coming up on the program tomorrow, Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. We'll talk a little Major League Baseball with him, including getting his thoughts on Derek Jeter having his number two retired by the New York Yankees. I believe that makes number 11 the lowest number that hasn't been retired yet by the Yankees. I would have to double check that.
They're going to run out of numbers.
They're talking about the possibility of maybe having somebody wear zero, which is
You don't see that.
Strange to see. You occasionally, it's very rare, but not a whole lot of zeros in Major League Baseball. Unlike, I think, the NBA, there have been some zeros. A famous double zero comes to mind that used to wear the green and white of the Boston Celtics. That would be Robert Parrish, the Chief. He's not playing tonight for Brad Stevens, but the Celtics look to keep that home winning streak alive in this series. The home team has won every game. That bodes well for the Seas. They're at TD Garden tonight taking on the Washington Wizards. That game is on tap for you up next. And don't forget, you've still got a couple seconds to vote in our poll question. Who wins tonight's Game 7 between the Celtics and the Wizards? Big thanks to Emil's Hideaway for sponsoring the poll question. We'll talk NBA, MLB, and more coming up on the program tomorrow. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show. We'll join you Tuesday.
This is Bill's Yard, and Bill's a grill master, not a grass expert. Still, no weeds belong in this backyard barbecue kingdom. And with Scott's Turf Builder Weed and Feed, Bill's greasy thumb is just as good as a green thumb. Because Scott's thickens lawns to help crowd out over 50 pesky weeds.